Welcome to Transformed by Grace, an in-depth Bible study of God's Word presented by the Berean Bible Society. Join us each time on this station as Pastor Kevin brings the transforming message of God's grace revealed through the Holy Scriptures.
You've probably never heard of Wilbert Williams. He wasn't famous or rich. Still, Williams received an honor normally reserved for the connected, powerful, and wealthy. The city of Chicago designated an honorary street as Wilbert Williams Way on December 2, 2004. The honor was in celebration of his retirement. What did someone as unknown as Williams do to deserve such a tribute? The question becomes even more compelling when you realize that for nearly 40 years, Wilbert Williams worked at the Woman's Athletic Club as a doorman. Normally, an honorary street sign goes to people who get the door held open for them, not to the one holding the door. What set Williams apart? He carried out his duties in an exemplary fashion. Police Officer Paul O'Donnell said, "In all these years, I never heard him speak a harsh word about anyone. He was a gentleman." Through his kindness and service to others, Williams made an impact on those whom he met at the corner of Michigan and Ontario. Commenting on why he always helped tourists, pointing them in the right direction, Williams said, "If I was in a different city, I'd like someone to help me." Having a street named in your honor is impressive. But how much greater the honor that God promises to give to those who serve Him well, even in their daily employment, as He promises an eternal inheritance that will never spoil or fade away. Colossians 3:22-23 read, "Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men." Much of our lives is given to work. For the majority of us, most weeks and most days are given to a job or some kind of work. Work is a significant part of who we are and what we give ourselves to day in and day out and year in and year out. Work is God's idea. Work was included as a part of God's original plan for man. It existed before the fall of mankind and the curse of sin. In Genesis 2:15, we read that the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. God gave man work to do. Adam was given a job by God to be the gardener in Eden. Work was an important and dignified part of representing the image of God and serving Him. Adam's responsibility was to make sure that the trees and plants were tended and had appropriate care. He was a guardian and a steward of the Garden of Eden's wonders and resources. Working is an important part of being godly or godlike, because God Himself is a worker. God is never idle. He never slumbers or sleeps. He is always active. He continually works and sustains His creation, upholding all things by the word of His power. And He works in us, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. In John 5:17, Christ told those who challenged Him about healing on the Sabbath, but Jesus answered them, saying, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." Worketh hitherto means that the Father has been working until now and has never ceased working. So when we work, and we work faithfully in our employment, it manifests godliness in our lives and being like our Creator. In verses 22-23, Paul gives instruction for the believer who is under the authority to another in the workplace. And he answers the question, what should the believer's work life look like? For many believers, God has called for the workplace to be their primary mission field. It is where we spend the most time and often where we are around the most people. The way we work is a testimony to a watching world, and it is where we can be a strong witness to Christ and to the grace of God. Our relationship to work should be and can be radically different from the world's because of Christ. Paul starts off this chapter in Colossians 3:1, "If ye then be risen with Christ," and then he goes on to demonstrate how the believer's life can be lived on a different and a higher plane now. A man came home from work one day and told his wife, "I got let go from my job today." And she asked, "Well, what happened?" And he replied, "Well, the boss called me in for a meeting and he said, 'You're in charge of safety here. What steps would you take in the event of a fire?' And all I did was reply, 'Really big ones.'" Paul speaks here of the believer's response to his boss at work. And the first thing that the believer's work life should be characterized by is obedience. Paul had just written a couple verses earlier, "Children, obey your parents in all things." Here in verse 22, he wrote, "Servants, obey in all things." The obedience the child learns from their parents in the home is important for the rest of their lives, and it is to carry into the workplace. And for the employee, there is to be obedience in all things to our masters, according to the flesh, or our earthly masters, or our bosses. Paul did not write here, "Obey your earthly masters when they're being fair and reasonable." Rather, it is, "Obey your bosses, no matter what they're like, in everything." In doing so, obedience in the workplace is ultimately obedience to God. Of course, this instruction by Paul is not expecting the believer to compromise their faith, do something contrary to the Word of God, or to break the law. But the thrust is that God expects us to respect and cooperate with the people we work for and to do as we're instructed. Before God, believing employees owe submission and obedience to their employers or supervisors. The second thing that the believer's work life should be characterized by is not with eye service as men pleasers. Eye service is pretty easy to understand, referring to one who just works hard when he or she knows somebody's watching, and therefore is a men pleaser seeking to gain the praise and favor of men. But a person that works only with eye service, when they know they aren't being watched anymore, then the quality, effort, and thoroughness of their work drops off. The type of work Paul expects from a believing employee has nothing to do with whether we are being watched or not, or whether we will get credit or not. Christ expects his church to be people of integrity and to work diligently all the time, even when no earthly master is watching. We do so knowing that the Lord, our Master in heaven, sees all that we do all the time. As Proverbs 5:21 says, "For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings." The third thing that the believer's work life should be characterized by is in singleness of heart, fearing God. The word singleness means sincerity without duplicity, the virtue of one who is free from pretense and hypocrisy. This is a sincerity that comes from one's heart, or man's deepest, innermost being. God's grace reaches for our heart, and Christ desires to change our heart. This is a sincerity of heart here in wanting to do what is right and good in the sight of God. Our respect and cooperation in our jobs and to our bosses isn't simply to be superficial, but genuine, from the heart, sincerely focused on wanting to please the Lord by how we work. God doesn't want us to keep an eye only on the clock or to keep an eye out for others and only working when they are watching. He wants us to keep our eyes on Christ. And He can transform how we work when we realize that we are ultimately serving Him in our jobs. There's much more to work for the believer than just punching the clock, doing the job we're paid to do, and then punching out. We're called to do it with a godly attitude, industrious spirit, as a testimony for Christ, and fearing God, Paul adds. And that's an interesting addition to this verse, fearing God. And that speaks of reverence to Him. You might be thinking, I thought we were talking about work here, not church. How do we make copies on a copy machine or design software or drive a bus or flip a hamburger fearing God? Your job, no matter what it is, can be and is to be an act of worship. God desires our work to be done in faith and reverence to Him. Jerry DeLuca wrote, "As believers, we sometimes exalt spiritual work and downplay simple labor. However, any work, no matter how mundane, that is done for God is spiritual work." Every believer can serve the Lord in their job, whatever job that is, and thus any work or job becomes a ministry. Often man gets it backwards and looks to their jobs or their career to provide them with meaning and bring significance to their lives. But for the believer, Christ is the one who gives meaning and significance to our lives. Thus, we do not look for meaning to our life by our work or career. We bring meaning to it as we work in an attitude of worship to God, fearing God. The fourth thing that the believer's work should be characterized by is, "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily." Whatsoever ye do is a comprehensive statement. All of us belongs to God, body, soul, and spirit. All of life is Christian. All we do is to be set apart to Him and for His glory. And whatever we do, that is, in our daily employment, we are to do it heartily, or put our heart and soul into what we do, doing it wholeheartedly to the best of our ability. The Lord told Israel in His earthly ministry, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength." And that is the language of worship of God, giving all of ourselves to Him. And in the workplace too, in whatever we do, we are called to work with the intensity and devotion of our love and service toward God, doing what we do heartily. The fifth thing that the believer's work life should be characterized by is that it is to be done as to the Lord and not unto men. Henry Giles said this, "Men and women must work. That is as certain as the sun. But we may work grudgingly, or we may work gratefully. We may work as people or machines. There is no work so rude that we may not exalt it. No work so impassive that we may not breathe a soul into it. No work so dull that we may not enliven it, if we understand that what we are doing is service for our Lord Jesus Christ." For every working believer, no matter what we do, no matter where we do it, no matter whom we do it for or with, the Lord is the one we are actually and ultimately working for. Working just for the boss or just for the paycheck often leads to doing just enough. But this view of work, however, that we work for the Lord in whatever we do, that is meant by God to transform a worker's attitude and performance. And because we are truly serving the Lord in our jobs, Paul wrote that the Lord is going to justly reward that one day. Colossians 3:24-25 read, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. We serve the Lord in our daily employment knowing something. We work knowing that we will be rewarded by our Master in heaven one day. The Lord promises to reward those who work with the kind of heart and soul integrity and obedience mentioned in verses 22 to 23. The word reward means a proper recompense. It refers to a payment for the work that believers do in whatsoever we do in the workplace. This reward is called the reward of the inheritance. First off, we must define what our inheritance is. Believing Israel has a future inheritance in the promised land during Christ's earthly kingdom, and later on the new earth in the new Jerusalem. But for the church, the body of Christ, we learn what our inheritance is from the message revealed to the Apostle Paul for the church today. And Paul referred to the believer's inheritance earlier in this letter, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. When we trust Christ as our personal Savior, we are born again into the family of God. In Christ, the believer now enters a familial relationship that in turn legally issues us an inheritance called the inheritance of the saints in light. Because we have redemption through Christ's blood, the forgiveness of all of our sins, we have been made fit and qualified by the Father to be partakers of this inheritance eternally. This describes the believer's position and standing before God in Christ in the light and glories of heaven, which is our inheritance. Our inheritance in Christ of eternity in heaven cannot be gained by works or lost by bad behavior. It is all of grace, and it is a gift received by faith alone. However, the reward of the inheritance is something different from the inheritance of the saints in light, or our standing in Christ. The reward of that inheritance is something that can be won or lost based on our service to Christ. Colossians 2:24 states that the one who serves the Lord in the workplace shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. So we see the receiving and gaining of reward by good and faithful service rendered to Christ in that verse. Colossians 2:18 then also warns the church of the possibility of losing rewards. Let no man beguile you or cheat you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels. There you see the loss of reward due to the following of bad doctrine and improper worship of angels. The reward of the inheritance refers to heavenly, spiritual, eternal rewards that will be given or withheld, won or lost, one day when we stand before the Lord. Verse 24 states that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance. When we receive this reward of the Lord is at the judgment seat of Christ. Romans 14:10-12 tells us, for we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. It is at that day of the judgment seat of Christ when each believer will individually stand before the Lord to give an account of himself, that believers who faithfully labor in their jobs and serve the Lord in them will be given an eternal reward by the Lord. Believers will be rewarded or recompensed for serving the Lord in the workplace. We normally think we receive eternal rewards for spiritual duties like teaching the Bible, faithfully praying, sharing the gospel, doing mission work, helping those who are in need, and so on. And these kind of things will be rewarded as they are done for Christ. But here Paul teaches that the church, he teaches the church that all work done to the honor and glory of Christ, including even in our daily employment, will result in an eternal reward. A lot of people work for a raise in their jobs. But as believers, we should keep our eye on the ultimate raise and eternal rewards that Christ will grant to those who serve Him in their employment. Many also think of their retirement and know exactly how many years they have left until they retire. They work looking forward to retirement and cashing in their IRAs. They work hard. They save for that day. And there's nothing wrong with this. For believers, though, we have a day future from one's retirement to when we will stand before the Lord. Think of Christ rewarding your hard work. That'll make any person's IRA and long-awaited retirement plans and relaxation, that'll make all that fade into nothingness. Christ's rewards are amazing to consider. They are something coming from Christ's own hands to our hands. They are eternal, and they are our everlasting possession. The rewards will be glorious, and they glorify Christ because they are service we did through Him and for His glory. And most importantly, they will demonstrate and be a testimony forever that Christ was well pleased with us and our service to Him. And that will mean everything. Your daily work goes into eternity. Your job has eternal significance. You might feel as if your work doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things. You get called out to a job for a sink that's leaking and to fix the pipes like you've done 1,000 times before. And as you do it, you wonder, what difference does this make? You go to your class day in and day out and teach the children the things you've been teaching for many years, and you wonder if it is making a difference. Work often feels futile and pointless, but this passage reminds you that it isn't. What you do matters forever. The kids you taught might not care that you poured your heart and soul into teaching them, and they might not ever realize how much it helped them in their lives. The members of the house where you ably fixed its plumbing, caring that you did a good job, they won't remember you were there in a day or two, and they won't remember your name. But Christ cares. He knows. He remembers. And He won't forget. And He will reward you for it one day. And everything you did for the glory of Christ and as a godly testimony for Him will be remembered forever. Regarding the receiving of the reward of the inheritance at the judgment seat, Paul further points out that at that day, he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. The motives, attitudes, and conduct of believing workmen is the issue here. In the original Greek, he that doeth wrong refers to one who is the habitual practice of wrongdoing. And he that doeth wrong is obviously one who does the opposite of what is right. And in this context, it means to do the opposite of everything Paul said the believing workman should do at the workplace. Therefore, doing wrong means to be stubborn, insubordinate, disobedient to their masters. It means to be working only with eye service, seeking to please men and not God, having an attitude of superficial respect and cooperation, not giving a full effort, and not working as to the Lord. A believing employee might deceive his earthly master with his eye service, and he might feign respect and it not be noticed. He might give a half-hearted effort and get away with it, but these things cannot escape the notice of the believer's true master, the Lord Jesus Christ. What it means to receive for the wrong which he hath done is that when one stands before the Lord at the judgment seat, they will receive for the wrong that they have done in the sense that they receive nothing. The heavenly rewards of our inheritance that could have been received from the Lord's hand, had they been a faithful laborer and done what was right, will be withheld. Thus, the believing worker who consistently does not do what was right will suffer a loss of reward for the wrong which he hath done. Colossians 4:1 reads, "Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven." Finally, Paul addresses believing masters or bosses. Paul tells them to treat their employees with justice and fairness. The believing employer is to deal equitably, to be fair, and to do right by his employees and to not take advantage of them or to treat them poorly or unjustly. People are not to be used or mistreated. They are to be loved and respected. And believing bosses are to do so knowing that they are accountable, responsible, and will have to answer to their master in heaven one day. Because again, as Romans 14:12 tells us, every one of us shall give account of himself to God at the judgment seat. And at that day, as believing employers are judged to have treated their workers with justice and equity, they will receive heavenly rewards of the inheritance from their master in heaven. However, if believing employers are cruel, abusive, disrespectful to their employees, and treat them unfairly, they will receive the consequences of their wrongdoing without partiality. And just like with disobedient employees, these kind of masters that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and rewards will be withheld by Christ. As 2 Corinthians 5:10 reminds us, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad."
Thank you again for tuning in to Transformed by Grace. We appreciate your prayer support and the financial gifts. The purpose and mission of the Berean Bible Society is to help you understand the whole counsel of the Word of God. For more information, visit our website at www.bereanbiblesociety.org or give us a call at 262-255-4750. Or if you prefer, write us at the Berean Bible Society, P.O. Box 756, Germantown, Wisconsin, 53022. Now until next time, may you be transformed by God's grace.